Blog Talk Radio.
To the men and women of the United States Armed Forces and the men and women of police and fire services. For those who have served, for those who are serving, our greatest thanks to you and to your families for the sacrifice you're both giving up. And the programs are brought to you each and every week in grateful appreciation by Dr. Kathleen Carroll, a board-certified psychiatrist in private practice since 2003. Dr. Carroll was previously the Director of Inpatient Services at the Bay Pines VA Hospital and the Bay Pines VA Medical Center. Dr. Carroll specializes in the treatment of children ages 6 and older and the treatment of adults, whether it's from the pediatric to the geriatric. She's also an all-time triathlete. And if you're having a problem breaking through those walls to get to the next level, give her a call. She can help you do it. She's had to do it herself, and she knows how to work it. Her office is at 336 East Bloomingdale Avenue in Brandon, Florida. Their phone number is 813-689-2466. Well, you know, I put Kate on for two reasons. One, to honor the veterans, but the other is that last week I had the chance to sit in with my good friend Phil Esposito and call the Lightning game for WDBX here in Tampa. And I don't know if you remember, you remember Phil, years ago during a championship game, skated off. We had the Philadelphia always had Kate Smith come in and sing God Bless America. And Phil skated over and gave her two dozen red roses, more of a tongue-in-cheek than it was anything else. And I told him I was going to play that tonight. So, Phil, that's for you. And if you think that you pissed off a lot of people in Philadelphia, they're still pissed off at you. So I just want you to know that. And I'll be in the booth with you tomorrow night. Well, it was a big week. Sorry. A little thumb control there. Got to redo that. So, Z, how was your week?
My week's been fine. My week's been pretty good.
Will we be joined this evening by the illustrious filmmaker, or is he filmmaking?
No, he's away taking care of his independent film project.
Nice. Yeah, I wanted to mention to him that I just saw that there's a, let me get this guy's name here. There is a filmmaker. Where is that? Oh, yeah. His name is Bill Siegel, and he's taking on a project that's going to talk about the trials of Muhammad Ali. So they're going to make, a documentary film on that.
All right.
Yeah, I wonder how that guy could beat your brother to it. I mean, he's the biggest Muhammad Ali fan I ever knew.
Yeah, there have been a few documentaries on Muhammad Ali. It will be interesting to see how he puts his twist on it.
Sure. Well, you know, Mr. Carl Froch is coming back on the 23rd, on what would be 2 weeks from tonight, on the HBO with George Groves. What do you think of that fight?
Who does he fight?
A guy named George Groves.
George Groves.
That's my thought.
I haven't heard too much about George Groves.
Yeah.
But, it'd be interesting to see Carl Fox get back.
Yeah.
He's an exciting fighter, and I always like seeing him fight.
Yeah. It was almost like he handpicked this guy so he can get a win again. Because he's had had some problems. In the last couple of years. Here's another one I was going to ask your brother about. In the Ukrainian Congress this last week, they passed a law. I don't know if you read that. It was signed in by President Viktor Yanukovych. Puts the brakes on Vitaly Klitschko getting a chance to run against him. They actually went out and had a law written that he can't run against the president.
Well, I mean, those are Russian politics. So,
yeah.
Most of us aren't, familiar with the inner workings and the intricacies of, how that goes. So, I mean, to be honest,
backroom politics, but, man, that takes the cake.
Yeah, to actually write a law to exclude one individual.
I don't remember. You were probably too young to remember, but back in, I would say, 74, Bill McLaughlin was running for mayor of Wilmington, and he was on NBC, or on KYW, with his opponent. At that time was the city attorney, and they got into some words, and then Mary McLaughlin said something, and Bill said, yeah, and the next thing you know, in the middle of the interview, the two of them were fist fighting on TV. I thought that took the cake as far as politics was concerned, but this definitely has a new meaning to backroom politics.
Absolutely. Mayoral candidates acting like college football players.
I wonder who would be called for bullying in that one. Probably Mary. Thank God they're all dead right now. But
it looks like Top Rank has a pretty good fight card tonight. Did you have to see that?
Absolutely. The only fight I would actually be a little hesitant to watch would be the Victor Chinian Nonito Donaire rematch.
Yeah.
And that's just because Donaire's got nothing but better. And Darchinian, he's around the same. He's had his losses. He had his wins, but he's around the same.
Yeah.
So it doesn't look good.
Yeah.
But the other two fights, Roman Rocky Martinez against Mikey Garcia, Mikey Garcia is moving up to fight Roman Martinez. So that should make it interesting. Although I expect Mikey to win. It could be rough. He can have his rough waters.
Yeah.
But the other fight, which probably has the most interest for me, is Demetrius Andre against Vanus Metarosyan.
Right.
And they actually got into a shoving match during the weigh-in.
Right.
It had to be separated.
Uh-huh. So, well, you know, D'Artagnan's got, when you're talking about that, he's got a lot to prove here. I mean, this is a guy that actually took away his undefeated status in 2007.
Absolutely.
This could be a grudge. Well, it is a grudge match, but and going back, looking at the line on tonight's fight, Mikey Garcia definitely has outpointed Martinez by almost 400 points as far as the line's concerned, and.
Nice.
Andre is definitely that's the two that the books have picked for to win tonight's fight.
Yeah, and that sounds about right. Sounds about right. I mean, D'Artagnan has a lot to prove, but I think Donaire may have almost even more to prove after that Rigondeaux loss.
Right. But we'll have to see on that one. What about? Vladimir Klitschko, after he won over Povetkin, his next opponent, they say, is going to be Dennis Boyston. You know anything about him? Boyston?
No. No, I haven't heard about him.
Yeah.
But I imagine it'll be a softer touch than Povetkin.
Yeah. Well, he's got to, Bostov has to, beat Alexei Lepi to even get around, but he's already called Klitschko out on it. That's as bad as Yui Fury. Before he even wins his fight, he's calling somebody else out.
Yeah, types of Fury. Hey, he's a character. Can't wait to see him and David Haye.
Yeah. Well, he had a... had a fight this week with David Garcia, and he had it was a pretty close fight. And now they say that his manager, which is his father, said that he's got a cut over his left eye, so he's going to be out for 4 weeks out of commission. So they don't know whether they're going to be able to make the December 6th fight that they already got set up.
And that was postponed before, actually. So,
What about we got tonight? David Salida's coming back in for a 10-rounder with Gabriel. How do you say it? Bracero? Is that how you say it? B-R-A-C-E-R. Oh,
yeah, I think so.
I don't know either one of these fighters. Do you know anything about them?
Not too much, to be honest. I think I seen Man Sam Bracero on one of the, not local networks, but one of the maybe off-brand networks.
Uh-huh. Hey, do you know anything about this AME that's supposedly running these fights off of HBO?
Actually, no, I didn't even get to read on that.
Uh-huh.
Not yet. Some things I've read on. I read, I've seen that Floyd Mayweather is trying to Well, Richard Schaefer is actually trying to push for a fight between Floyd Mayweather and Amir Khan.
Yeah, I saw that the other day where he actually offered, was it $5 or $7 million to do it?
Yeah, I think so. I know that that would be interesting just because I think Amir is – I know he switched trainers, but I don't think he switched promoters. He's still under Top Rank, isn't he?
Yeah,
which to me – That fight between Floyd and Amir Khan proved that if he works with Top Rank in that capacity, then the next logical step for me will be a fight between Floyd and Pacquiao. Granted, Pacquiao looks good in his fight against Brandon Rios, which I expect him to do.
We're going to – I'm not going to go off the air this time. I'm going to just call Chris online here so we get our resident historian on, Dr. Chris Panarella. Yep.
8, 2, 1. Your call cannot be.
Hey, must have put the wrong number in. So you got two contender alumni fighting this week too, huh?
Yeah, who would that be, Butch?
That's Peter Manfredo versus Garcia.
Wow.
Ruben Garcia.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And that actually should make for a pretty good fight.
Yeah. And they're calling out
Hello.
Hey, Chris, how you doing?
Hi, just sitting here waiting. Nobody showed up yet.
Oh, okay.
Not a damn soul called me.
There you go.
It's 6:15. All right, I'm around.
All right, well, we're on the air now.
All right, go ahead.
Yeah, we were.
Hey,
how
you feeling, Dr. Chris?
How are you guys?
We're doing good. How you feeling?
Well, I went to the doctors, and when they put that machine to break the stones up, it didn't work. I went Friday, and they're going to do it over again Tuesday. They're going in and take the stone out with a laser. Didn't work with a crush machine. So I got something to look forward to.
Yeah.
Migration. That you got to do. You can't fight City Hall.
That's right.
The thing's still sitting there. All that damn lithotripsy machine, they call it, didn't work. It works on everybody but me.
Probably doing it. Skin they got to go through.
What's that?
That must be that tough skin they have to go through.
No, Jesus Christ, the hard head or something. I don't know what the hell it's going to go through. So how you guys been? We've had some good fights on, man.
Yes, we have.
Yeah. We've had some damn good ones.
Yeah. We got.
Who's going to win tonight?
Well, that's a good question. We were just talking about that. The books have Mikey Garcia, a heavy favor, and who's the other one here?
Demetrius Andre
Andre. Yeah.
Matt Rosen.
That's who the books have picked to win, and then they got the other one with the Deontay is seems to be up in the air. Nobody's picking it. What do you think?
They also have the rematch between Nonito Donaire and Victor Chinian.
Right.
Well, I'm going to go with Donaire.
Really?
I guarantee you he's a favorite. Donaire can hit him. He's a harder puncher, and I think he'll do the same thing he did last time. I think he should really knock Garcinian out. It's too easy to hit. They already had the one tough fight, the only one bad fight. He didn't look good in it when he fought that Cuban, remember?
Rigondeaux. Yeah.
Yeah. Didn't he fight him?
Yeah. Yeah, that was Donaire's last fight against
Rigondeaux. Last
fight,
he lost.
Yeah.
Yeah. That guy was classy, man. He was tough. He was tough. And De Niro got a small opponent tonight. He's a blown-up bantamweight, this other guy. So when does Pacquiao fight Rios? Next week?
The 27th, if I correct.
Oh, okay. I'm looking forward to that one. That could go either way. You don't know who to pick in that fight. You don't know. There's too many.
I'm picking Pacquiao. I just think Vander Rios, he's too rudimentary. He comes forward. He doesn't really move his head. He doesn't have too much explosion in his punches. He'll wear you down if he stays on you. But I mean, he plies with his feet. He doesn't have the quickest footwork. He'll cut the ring off, but against Pacquiao, who's fought bigger guys and everything, Pacquiao, his feet, his darting feet, and his in and out style, I think that's just the wrong matchup for Rios.
Could be. You know, Rios is easy to hit. You know, he's a late round fighter. He kind of comes strong on the end of the and near the end of the fight, I want to fight another fighter gets worn out, but Pacquiao should be able to hang in there and pop him with left hands. But then you always got that chance that we're going to see with a good right here. Who the hell knows with Pacquiao? You don't know who the hell's going to show up. I'm assuming that he'll be in good condition and all, because I think he wants to make it back to the top again. You still thinking to fight Mayweather? If he looks good tonight, if he looks good against Rios, he'll probably fight Mayweather.
Yeah, I think Richard Schaefer's trying to set up a fight between Floyd Mayweather and Amir Khan.
Nah, I don't think Khan stands a chance. I don't think he stands a chance.
Yeah, me either. But with them, I think with Khan still, if I'm correct, was still with top rank. If that fight gets made, then to me it seems like it'll lead to nothing but Floyd and Pacquiao.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of politics there between those guys. Argued for 2 years, But Floyd went on to make a lot of money anyway. What the hell does he care, If I were Floyd, I'd rather fight Canelo rather than fight Pacquiao. I think Pacquiao is a more dangerous opponent for Mayweather. I just got that feeling. That guy flopped. He certainly flopped at Canelo. Mm-hmm. Jesus.
Yeah.
Should have hand-picked opponents all the way.
He got worse.
He too many easy fights. He wasn't tough. He's not a guy that wants to take you out every time he comes near you. Some guys want to kill you. He's not one of those guys. I don't think he's mean enough to beat a guy like Mayweather. I mean, and it showed. He's not tough enough and mean enough. And it's difficult to fight Mayweather, especially. Damn, he's hard to hit and pops you back. He's still fat. That guy, how old is he now? Almost 40?
What's 40, 36?
Yeah, about 36 or 37.
37, I think. Yeah, he's getting up there.
And
the guy from Philly's giving everybody hope. They think they're going to fight until they're 50. Bernard's a freak. How the hell? You know, 5-6 years ago, he was looking horrible. Guys were beating the hell out of him, and all of a sudden, he got a new. I don't know what you would call it, like a new. He recreated himself somehow. I don't know how. But that guy from Wales just beat the hell out of him. I mean, outboxed, he moved around, outsped. What the hell is that guy's name? The guy that retired on the field.
Calzaghe. Joe Calzaghe.
Calzaghe.
Yeah, Calzaghe. Calzaghe. Yeah, the only Italian in Wales.
Yeah.
his father was a riot, that guy. He was a hairdresser. How the hell did he come? That was his only trainer, too. He didn't go with anybody else. Ah,
yeah.
Christ, that was funny. Joe Calzaghe.
Yeah.
And you know his Italian? Faldo, the golfer, Nick Faldo?
Yes.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I didn't know until he mentioned it on TV one night.
Yeah.
You think anybody born in England, they got to be English. You know? they're all pale as hell and look white as a ghost. I don't know where the hell Faldo came from. Oh, Christ.
Talked about Bernard. Andre Ward's coming back next Saturday with Edlin LaBamba Rodriguez. And he's called out, whoever wins that, if Andre Ward wins, he's called out Bernard Hopkins. What do you think about that one?
I would never bet against Andre Ward. I don't care who the hell he's fighting. I love to see that fight, you know. I like to see somebody put I don't know. I like to see Ward and Hopkins. He could move up very easily to 75. Wouldn't be nothing. And
Hopkins
short.
Hopkins
he can move down if he had to. Yeah, they could make it at 7. They could make it at 75 or make it at 68. Wouldn't make any difference, you know.
Yeah.
But Art's tall. He's tall. He's not real muscular, but he's tall. He's big frame on him. When you see him in person, he looks like nothing when you're right next to him. But you know, he beat some good light heavyweights.
Yeah,
I can't knock a guy. I mean, he's amazing. 50 years old, almost 50, still fighting. Jesus Christ, you know. And the caliber of opponents, he's fighting some tough guys. I mean, he's not fighting, you know. He's amazing. I don't know how the hell he does it.
Yeah.
And he must have a good chin. Nobody's, you know, knocked. I mean, when's the last time he was ever knocked out? Can you remember?
No, I can't.
I don't think anybody ever knocked him out.
Nobody ever knocked him out. I don't remember.
I don't think so either.
Yeah.
I don't even remember him being on the floor, but I know he got knocked down.
Mm-hmm.
I know he got knocked down a couple of times, but I don't remember him ever getting knocked out. Well, yeah, maybe his first fight. He lost his first fight. Well, that could have been when he got out of jail and he didn't know what the hell he was doing. He's a different fighter now, you know?
Yeah.
For sure. What do you think of Dante Wilder? You think he's got a good chin or what?
I don't know.
You talk about
his chin,
you talk about getting set up opponents. My God!
I mean
they got to put him in there
incredibly hard. That's the one thing I can say. When he hits you, he makes your body react while you're on the canvas.
Yeah.
He hits you and you have residual effects. That's one thing. That can
he's a big coordinated
everybody?
Guy.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness, yeah. Can he beat
everybody?
He throws
a hell of a right hand.
Oh, my goodness. He'll throw a wide, and then he'll straighten it out at times.
Oh, yeah.
So
it's going to be interesting to see what happens when somebody stings him, you know. But
yeah. Yeah.
You know what? Klitschko, he's such a disappointment to watch, the smaller brother.
Yeah.
He's such a you know, Vladimir, he's so horrible to watch him fight. I don't know where the hell he, you know, I don't know if that would be a good fight or not.
Yeah,
but he's got a weak chin.
The guy that big, so scared of contact.
Yeah, my God, he's fighting like he's fighting, you know. Somebody's throwing a rattlesnake at him the way he jumps back. He jumps back from a jab. I go, what the hell is he doing?
Big goof.
Yeah. If he were fighting in the chamber in 1950, they'd boo him out of the ring for doing that.
I don't think he'll survive. I mean, back then people weren't so willing to clinch with him. People weren't so willing. They would fight in the clinch.
Yeah.
Now they seem to capitulate. When he holds, they'll hold him back. And back then, no. It seemed a little more aggressive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know, Chris,
I'll tell you,
we were just talking before you came on that, you know, Vladimir had thoughts of running for president in Yugoslavia. Or the Ukraine, rather. And the Congress got together over the last week, and they made a law that he cannot run against the president for the presidency.
The older brother, where does he want to run? In Ukraine?
Yeah.
In Ukraine,
yeah. He wanted to be the president of the Ukraine.
That's the big one. That's the big one, right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
We're just saying,
how the hell is he going to run in Yugoslavia? He's probably not even a citizen there.
Yeah, I'm at the Ukraine. Yeah, I'm at the Ukraine.
I think it's Ukraine.
That's worse than the old war board trying to put people into offices.
Putting a Democrat in.
Yeah.
In Delaware County years ago. I mean, what the big guy's going to be the politician, right? I never heard the younger brother say anything about it.
Yeah.
I don't think he wants to get in politics, just the older brother.
Yeah.
Well,
he thinks that Manny's making a lot of money doing it, so he might as well do it.
Yeah.
Use his name to capture. Yeah,
he might be the first politician ever to steal. Not so much money from fighting. He might be the first honest Russian. Can you imagine him? Jesus. I don't want to argue with him.
No.
Boy, that big smile. It'll knock you on. He is big.
You remember,
Christ.
You remember how much, how impressive Jesse Ventura was when he ran for office?
Oh.
The
yeah, yeah. He was impressed with himself.
Oh, yeah.
He was really, he overrated himself, Ventura. Sure, what a jerk he was.
Yeah,
you know?
he really.
He's still around making noise.
Oh yeah,
still a lot. I mean, that guy was just he was a novelty.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, a lot of people liked him, and I liked him in the beginning, and after a while, I just got tired of listening to him.
Sure.
Yeah. You
know? Sure.
Guess you didn't, sure.
Yeah. He.
We'll see.
That always impressed me how smart the people were of the state of Minnesota to make him their governor.
Yeah, they're different type people up there too. They're a conservative group of there's a lot of Germans up there. A lot of got a whole different attitude. I was shocked they went for Ventura.
That's simplistic.
Hey, Chris, what do you think? Two former contenders are going to fight each other, Peter Manfredo and Ruben Garcia. What do you think of that fight?
I don't care for Manfredo. He's too easy to hit. I don't think he's going to do any good. I mean, if the other guy's got anything, he should beat Manfredo.
Uh-huh.
You're talking about the guy from New England?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Manfredo, the guy from New England, he's like a big middleweight.
Yeah, he's
too big for the middleweight division, too small for the next one up. He's like right in the middle, one of those fighters in the middle. And I don't think he's going to, I mean, you know, he's made some money in his day, but I don't think he's going to do anything. If the other guy's got anything at all, he should win that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, Manfredo, he came out of that thing that Sugar Ray Leonard had. Remember that? Yeah, the contender. Yeah, that was pretty good. That was pretty good. That was a good show. You know, I enjoyed that show. But I don't think too much of them.
Uh-huh.
Slow.
How about
I don't know.
How about Kevin Kingpin Johnson coming back after a long layoff? He's going to be fighting November 26th down here at the Hard Rock Cafe in Sunrise.
Johnson, Florida. the light heavyweight.
Yes.
He's older than Bernard, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
He looks older than Bernard. Bernard and him are fighting a grandfather series.
Great.
You know? Yeah. Big two grandfathers, first time ever.
Yeah. Well, he's fighting on the undercard, the Tarver fight, the Tarver Mike Shepard fight.
Wow.
On the 16th. 16th?
Oh, fight that guy out. I bet you he's broke.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
I guarantee he's broke.
Yeah.
I guarantee. You know, I've seen that happen so many times.
Right.
There was Marty Feldman had a guy. Was a nice guy. Charlie, he beat Chiz for the title. Was it Washington? Was his name Washington? What was his name? Marty's last champion. He had the light heavyweight champion. You know what? He didn't have enough money. When he left to go back to Ohio, he didn't have enough money to even get on a bus and go home.
Wow.
He gambled it all away. He had a terrible gambling habit. Awful. God-awful gambling habit. He just was dead broke. I never heard from Charlie. I never heard from him again. He just had a horrible... I mean, if you gave him $100,000, he'd blow it all in one night. I mean, he just was awful. And, you know, God, Frankie Fletcher. Frankie was the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Same way. He'd make $80,000 fighting, and then 2 weeks later he's bumming hot dog money off of you.
Yeah.
You know?
Well,
boss? Got any money for a hot dog? How about a bus?
Sure.
Mm.
He was funny. He was comical.
You know, Dave Jaco is down here. He fought Spinks, and he fought all those guys. After he fought Spinks, he walked out of the ring with a $20,000 purse. That was his take on it. And he's always said that, you know, he had a drinking habit, and he wanted a party, and he ended up partying with a bunch of people right in New York City. And when he left New York City, he had to call home to get money to get car fare to get home.
I believe it.
Yeah.
I believe it.
All 9 yards. Yeah.
I've seen guys do it that way. I've seen guys blow their whole purse in Atlantic City in an hour and a half.
Yeah.
I've seen guys do it. Oh, great. That's a shame. Easy come, easy go, but it's not easy come. I mean, you got to fight for that money.
Sure.
Not like a real estate deal.
Right.
Jesus, God.
But that's
been going on since, before Christ. Those guys have been wasting their money.
Sure.
And a lot of other guys, too. Football players. Dead broke.
Right.
Dead broke. I mean, doctors. Doctors are bad investors.
Oh, yeah.
I know a lot of doctors went bankrupt making bad investments. It's
right.
A shame. It's a damn shame, you know,
what happens
to them, but.
Now you said that, I'm supposed to tell you hello from your very first patient at Chester Hospital.
Man.
You remember that?
That's a long time ago. That's 1959.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Who was that?
He worked for your uncle. You remember?
My uncle Chris?
Yep.
Who was it?
J. Nolan.
Who?
J.P. Nolan.
Okay. Oh, my God. Whoa. Jesus, Scott. How old is she now? 11?
77.
Is that all?
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
God almighty. Uncle Chris.
Yep.
He was a funny guy. My uncle was a funny man. He was a hysterically funny person.
He was a great guy. He busts your balls.
He was
2 minutes.
He was a funny man. I miss Uncle Chris. He was something, boy.
Yeah.
You go over to Broadmeadows Jail with him, you laugh from the time you go in until you come out. It was hysterical. You go there, I was a kid, 19 years old, and he was teaching me to extract teeth over there. And I the guys didn't trust me. They used to call me the recruit. They were there, and they'd run down the hall if they saw me in there working. So, but they would jump a foot, I would jump a foot. I thought I was hurting them. They would scream, oh, Christ, run down a hall. what an experience for a 19-year-old kid. Put an extraction forceps in his hands over Broadmeadows. My uncle was crazy. He was crazy. Oh, Jesus.
He was a hell of a
guy. That was unbelievable. But yeah, I remember her very well. I was going to think, you know, I interned there in 59, and I was so young. I was only 23. I was really too young to open an office. Looked like a kid, you know. I was wondering who would come to me, you know. And then I opened when I was 24, a year later, big deal, you know. But the parents would bring their kids in and let me work on them. If the kids survived, they'd come. If they put the kids up. If the kids lived, then they'd come to me. With the Novocaine in those days, guys, I swear to God, did not work. It did not work. They had a cheap drug called Procaine. Everybody was using it. It did not work. I took it myself. You could feel everything. That's how dentistry got a bad name.
Uh-huh.
Got a bad name. And you know what? A couple guys for Lloyd Field, they used to get their jaw numbed on both sides, thinking they wouldn't get knocked out. Would you believe that? That's the truth. They come to the dentist, get Novocaine on both sides, and that was that old Procaine. It didn't even work. It didn't do them a damn bit of good. Oh, Jesus. People are in the crazy. They think they want an edge. Everybody wants an edge. So.
Well, wasn't John used to be up on Chester Pike? Raffini. Wasn't he in your class?
He worked for my uncle Chris. He worked for my uncle Chris. John did. John was a pharmacist, a dentist, and then a doctor.
Right.
He had 3 degrees.
Yeah.
First he was a pharmacist, and then he became an ophthalmologist. Then he went back and specialized in ophthalmology. Right. He did 4 different fields in his lifetime. And he was a great guy, too. He was the nicest man you'd ever want to meet.
Yes, he was.
John Raffini. He has a name out of the past.
Yep.
Yeah.
He and my uncle Rocco, the prophetess, and Nino used to have a card game every Thursday night. And
yep.
Your two uncles were there.
Well, Rocco DiProfetis was a funny guy. No, he was a comical man. He was a million laughs. What a hellraiser he was. He enjoyed everything and everybody. He just had a good time all the time. Had a great personality.
Yep.
Nino was more serious. Nino was more serious.
Yeah.
That was some family.
Yes, it was.
Jesus. You're going way back now. Jesus. DiProfetis, holy gee. You know who was the most brilliant man, one of the most brilliant men I ever met? Their older brother, Palmer, their relative, DeFuria.
Palmer DeFuria.
Yeah, he was a genius, that guy.
Yeah, he was.
He was a genius. He was a hell of a man. That was some era of doctors. None of them were board certified in those days. They used to get out of med school and start doing things and pick up some information here, some information there, you know, and the war made a lot of them. A lot of those guys they did things during the war. They did war surgery, and they learned a hell of a lot, you know, and they came out. They weren't board certified, but they were damn good surgeons.
Right.
You know, when you're a soldier wounded, anybody would work on you, you know. What choice did you have? You either let him work on you or you're going to die. And that's about what happened. You know, those guys learned an awful lot.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's not too good being a patient in those days.
No.
You know? What? A guy's learning on you. What? Yeah, that's the wrong person, you know, wrong time to learn. But what could you do during the war?
Yeah.
And they pushed those guys through school in 4 years.
Sure.
College and med school in 4 years in those days.
Well, when I went
spent a month to get.
We only
yeah,
went
to get more guys.
Yeah, when I went to pharmacy school, I was a year behind. Well, I was with the guy who just passed away that you know very well, Pete Petrillo. We were classmates.
You were classmates with Pete.
Yeah.
What a nice guy he was. What a great guy. I saw not too long ago one of his children.
Uh-huh.
And I think his wife's still living, Frank.
She is. Midging is...
I think she's...
She's another one.
He was quite a guy. He was a gentleman. Pete was a gentleman. Nice guy.
Yep.
Nice guy.
He came back from the war and came into PCP. And, yeah, we both graduated in 63.
Yep. That's where my dad went to school.
Yeah, I know.
My dad went there. He went there. He already had a chemistry degree from Pitt. And he got out of pharmacy school in like 2 years. Mm-hmm. He got through there real fast because he already had, you know, a degree in chemistry from University of Pittsburgh, and he went to school at night.
Uh-huh.
And he went to law school too. My father had 2 years of law school at night.
Wow.
Those guys struggled. Those guys were raised in a depression. They never had a jump on things. You know, they were always behind. You're always working from the bottom.
Right.
You know, those guys struggled all their lives. And Jesus, what a tough year to grow up in.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
Wow, the depression. Yeah.
Yeah,
my dad was a fight fan back in the early part of the century. He was raised at Christian Street, 9th and Christian, and
uh-huh.
the Olympia Club was right down the street.
Yeah.
And he was a fight fan. I used to listen to his stories, you know. Matter of fact, guys, I just cleaned my cellar out, and I got some old ring books. I got some classic literature. I've got old ring books from the 30s, from the early 30s. I've got the ring records of everybody that fought that year. I've got all these old books from great authors. I got a collection of books. It's really historic. And over the years, guys have given me, and I've added to them, you know. I really got a collection downstairs. I was looking through them the other night. I got the, Everlast used to put out a book once a year on all the fights, all the fighters who fought. And it was kind of a Bible. It was kind of like an encyclopedia or a dictionary of boxing. And it was interesting to see who won, and they used to put in there how much money the purse was and all that. Back, you know, $150,000 was a lot of money in 1925, 26.
Sure.
You know, I remember when Dempsey Carpentier was the first $1 million gate, and they would build in a stadium. They would build a stadium out of rough lumber for the fight. I mean, a big stadium holding 60,000 people would be all rough sawn lumber. They'd build a stadium, they'd have the fight, and then they'd tear it down. So, you know, it was unbelievable that they didn't have any stadiums big enough, and they were all outdoor fights.
Mm-hmm.
That was interesting, though. They built the stadium, and then I guess they scrapped it. It probably was like bleachers, like
right.
building bleachers.
Right.
And you could get guys to work for 40 cents an hour in those days.
Sure.
You know, that would be a hell of a day's pay.
Sure.
And then they would build a stadium, an outdoor stadium. That was something.
Yeah.
$1 million fight, that was a lot of money in the 20s. Whew. You know?
A lot of money now.
Yeah, when you got nothing in your pocket, it's a lot of money.
That's great.
Oh, God.
Hey, Chris,
Frank, were you with PCP when Dean Tice was there?
Oh, hell yeah.
Who was Dean at PCP when you went there?
Tice. Dean Tice?
Yeah. Well, yeah, he graduated with my father.
Huh.
They were good buddies.
Uh-huh.
That's how my brother got through school.
Yeah, in fact, as you go down towards Ronnie's house, there's actually a place where Ford and Edison used to have a place down here just outside Fort Myers. It's called Tice. Every time I go past there, I think about him.
Yeah.
He
did a lot of his experiments down there, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Yeah. Wow.
That's where the lights for cars came from.
Uh-huh.
With them working together. They had a house next door to each other.
They used to fight all the time over the same woman, I hear.
Yeah.
Used to argue. Ah, Christ. Matter of fact, a couple of my buddies went on that tour.
Uh-huh.
They had a little tour. A couple of my friends went over there just for the hell of it. To take
uh-huh.
that tour, they come back and they said that they used to fight over the same woman.
Yeah,
Edison. She must have been a beauty. Oh God! So what's on tonight? What fight's on tonight, guys? Danair,
Darcinian.
And Darcinian. Isn't there a wind up to that though?
The Rocky Roman Martinez fight, he fights Mikey Garcia.
Okay.
And Mikey Garcia is moving up for that fight.
Uh-huh.
And Demetrius Andre against Manis Venerosian.
Uh-huh. Triple header.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I have something to do later on. I get tired of watching a golf from Europe and the football games. Too many of these football games or college games the teams get murdered. Alabama murders everybody. Auburn killed Tennessee today. There's very few good games on. I mean, Stanford ran over Oregon the other night.
Right. Texas A&M beat Mississippi State 51-27. That's
A&M?
Yeah.
Wow.
Johnny Manziel.
Yeah,
you might see him in your favorite colors next year. He's talking about coming out next year, and if he does, the Eagles are looking
for
him.
How tall is he, Frank? How tall is Manziel?
I don't think he's more than 5'8", 5'9".
I was going to give him about 5'10", 5'11", maybe.
Somewhere in that area.
He's under 6 foot.
He's
definitely under 6 foot.
Yeah, you know, because that guy Wilson made it from Seattle. Now everybody thinks that a 5'10" quarterback is going to make it in the pros. Manziel is amazing, but he'll get hurt.
Oh yeah,
he'll get hurt in the pros.
And
I mean, he's an amazing athlete, but
I always thought Doug Flutie got slighted for that too, though.
Yeah.
Doug Flutie was always—I thought he was always good enough to be in the NFL, and I just thought he always got slighted for his size.
Well, that could be, yeah.
Flutie was small. What's Flutie, 5'9"?
I think
he looks small.
Yeah, he is.
I mean, but he made it, you know. Well, maybe Manziel can make it. I don't know. You know?
I don't know.
Who the hell knows?
Jaws is doing this game, and he was just saying it. He worries about his ability to recover when he's hit by the pros.
Mm-hmm. Anybody, them big fat guys fall on you, they crush you.
Yep.
You see that big fat guy fall on Rodgers? Christ, that's like a bus. I mean, you know, it's like a building collapsing on top of you. Them guys are running, and you're going backwards, and if your shoulder's braced, and you got a 350 pounder, man, that's a hell of a shock.
Yep.
I mean, you know, Rodway broke his collarbone and probably splintered it a little bit, but it takes a hell of a shot to break a collarbone. That's a pretty strong bone.
Yep.
But you get them linemen, them guys falling on you. Jesus, God.
Yep.
Oh, you know, you got to be pretty damn tough to survive in the NFL.
That's for sure. Well, guys, we're at the end of our hour here. And Chris, I want to really thank you again for coming on and give us lighten up our night.
You know, it's funny. We did more talking about anything but boxing. We talked about everything tonight. You get a broad education to listen to us. You know? So, we'll see. We sound like we know what we're talking about, too.
Yeah.
You know? All right,
one
guys.
Of the, one of the nice things is when we first started this program,
you know,
about 7
right,
and a half
take
years
care, guys.
Ago,
don't be next
heard.
Week.
All right, Dr. Chris.
I just want to let you know that.
All right, see you guys. Take it easy. I'm going to figure out who I'm going to leave my boxing memorabilia to.
There you go.
I'm going to leave it to one of you guys.
Okay.
All right. All right. I'll see you. Bye now.
Yeah, Z, I was just trying to tell Chris that 7 years ago when we started this program, we couldn't even be heard three blocks away from the station that we had. Now we're worldwide. And we're running every single program. We're running 123,000 listeners. So I appreciate everything you guys have done to make this thing a success.
We definitely appreciate you, Butch. We appreciate everything you're doing for us and doing for the boxing fans and the boxing community.
This is fun. This is fun.
Absolutely.
Okay, Z, you want to lead us out?
Man, I want to thank Dr. Chris. He's always entertaining, always entertaining. And I want to thank you, Butch.
Yes.
These shows are definitely in memory of Bob. And if anyone wants to hear any fighting words, please do call. Butch?
Okay, thank you. And we appreciate everything you and Ty do each and every week. Ladies and gentlemen, these programs are brought to you each and every night in grateful appreciation of the men and women of the United States Armed Forces, men and women of police and fire services. When you're out there and you see somebody in uniform, it's just a simple thank you or thank you for your service. It means a lot to everybody. We especially appreciate the members of, on Monday, the members of the United States Armed Forces. It's Veterans Day, from one veteran to the rest. Thank you for your service. Thank you. Thank God that you've made it home. And for the guys that are out there, we pray that you will make it home safe to your families. We also dedicate these programs to fallen officers, Deputy Robert Anthony Carroll, Patrolman David Curtis, Patrolman Jeffrey Kalkap, Sergeant Thomas Batinger, Patrolman Jeffrey Yazowitz, Patrolman David Crawford, Detective Randy Bell, Detective Ricky Childers, San Diego Officer Mike Hendler, Lieutenant Mike Zerber, Newcastle County Police, Patrolman Arnolfo Crispin, Lakeland PD, Deputy Barbara Pell, Broward County Sheriff's Office, Chief Al Hogel, Longboat Key Police Department, Chief Jimmy Ford, Wilmington Fire Department, Highway Patrolman Brian Lazaro, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Patrolman Alonzo Moses, Philadelphia Uniform Division, Patrolman Brian Murphy, Plymouth Township PD, Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Bob Neary, Philadelphia Fire Department, Deputy Chief Mike Godwin, Philadelphia Fire Department, MIT Officer Sean Collier, and Sergeant Mike Wilson, Charlotte County Sheriff's Office. My brothers and sisters, although you may be 10-7 at this point in time, at some time we'll be 10-10 at the table of the Lord. Until that time, may the roads rise up to meet you. May the winds be always at your back. May the rains fall softly on your fields and the sun shine softly on your face. Until we meet again, may the good Lord keep you and your families always in the hallow of his hands. Good night.
Shemalek ma'ilama. Shema Ezahir Ma Son Hashem Nevorat Fet Hakuig Again Ma'ir Ma
County dispatch to 1999. All units be advised, 1999 has responded to his last emergency. May God rest his soul. Hey, Bob, we miss you. Good night, Frank. We love you.
Night.